paid 260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
All right. We are back. The Kickback Pod. Back once again here with my man Fobs, JD. Back at it. Just want to give a quick shout out, starting off the pod with a shout out this time, giving a big shout out to every one of you guys listening to the pod and just sending us good feedback in our Instagram DMs about everything you listen to, I guess, on the pod. So shout out to you. And that's how I wanted to start off today, shouting out the fans. How you doing, Fobs?
I'm doing good. And I want to say the same as well. Like, thank you for listening. And there's actually been a lot of people that have messaged me and us also on the account saying that we're like their favorite sneaker podcast, which is pretty cool to hear because we're obviously not the biggest yet. There's some other big players out there, but it's nice to hear that there's at least a good number of you who really enjoy listening to us, because I think both of us really enjoy, you know, these bi-weekly talks that we have and just chatting about sneakers. And it motivates us more knowing that there's people who actually care about what we have to say, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So big, big thank you as well from my side. As for me, I'm doing well. I am in Porto right now recording. So apologies in advance if my sound isn't that great. I'm recording on my AirPods because I'm an idiot and I forgot to bring my microphone to Porto. And if you hear anything in the background, it's the seagulls. It's not a baby crying or anything, because I'm staying in this Airbnb and I'm on the top floor and I think there's a seagull nest on my roof.
Oh my God.
There's seagulls everywhere here. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, man. I'm very jealous though. I've been to Portugal when I was like a little child. I think I must've been like 6 or 7, but
you went to Madeira.
Oh yeah, true. I did. Madeira's. Yeah, man. Man, because Madeira is so outside of Portugal, like you forget that it's part of Portugal. But yo, so want to give a specific shout out to our fans. So we said we would be giving shout outs to fans every single week. So this time we put it at the beginning of the episode. So shout out to Matt DuJour, a big time listener of the pod. So appreciate you, Matt. Also, Matt is a comedian. I think he told me he's a full time comedian. So yeah, that's actually crazy because that is one job I could never, ever do, ever, man. Like, just the thought of going on stage and making jokes and people not laughing just scares the shit out of me. So I don't think I'd be able to do that.
Or like making jokes and then having people punch you in the face.
Oh, right, man. Oh, man. Good segue, man. We need to touch on that, man. What the hell? Man, I could not believe that was real, first of all. I thought it was like acting.
Yeah.
When the punch happened, I thought it was acting. And then I watched the rest of the video and he goes back to his seat and, you know, he's yelling. That's when I'm like, okay, this is actually real.
Same. I thought it looked scripted.
Yeah.
And then you see him like, take my wife's name out of your fucking mouth. Like, all right, this dude is serious.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, like, when Chris Rock made the joke, if you the camera was on Will's face and he initially laughed about it, and then it's almost like Jada looked at him and said, August wouldn't have laughed about that.
I think it also took him a moment to realize as well, you know, like, yeah. Sometimes you're like listening to somebody speak and then they throw something in there and you're like, wait, hold up, what did you say? So it was maybe like he was laughing, and then his brain registered, oh fuck, that's what the joke meant. And then he like, I still think it was an overreaction. I don't know about you.
Of course it was an overreaction, man. There's no other way. If you don't think that was an overreaction, then you basically condone public violence. Like that.
Yeah.
That was definitely an overreaction. At the very least, he could have, you know, approached him after the show and beat him up then, you know, when not in such a public setting, you know, watched by a billion people. But man, Twitter and TikTok and YouTube have been just going crazy with the memes. One of the, oh, have you seen this like TikTok? They made like a song out of it. like they made like a techno song out of it. It's so funny. It's like, get my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Oh, it's so good, man. But I gotta say, the funniest comment I saw, so you know about the whole like open relationship they have, right, Will and Jada?
Yeah.
Like the funniest comment I saw was this one person wrote, Jada must be so happy about the way Will defended her. She's definitely gonna let him watch tonight.
Oh my, that's so mean. But I mean, if you're gonna do that, you have to be as an entertainer in general, as shitty as it is, you have to be like open to criticism and hate and trolls, right? And if you do something like this, it's just gonna make it 1,000 times worse. So I think I feel like this has definitely hurt his legacy
and big time, man. Of course.
Yeah,
let's see if he gets canceled from Hollywood. I doubt it because he's such an A-list celebrity, but let's see. All right, so we got a jam-packed pod today, guys. So Air Max Day just happened, so we will focus a little bit on not just the releases of Air Max Day this time, but also there were quite a few events going on worldwide. And if you guys are on the sneakers app, you definitely must have witnessed the sneakers quiz show that they had on that day. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also quickly touch on some major sneaker news that happened over the last couple of weeks. But first, as always, we got to start off with the latest pickups. So I'll go first. Got some Yeezys this time, and actually a pretty Adidas heavy couple of weeks for me. So picked up two Yeezys, the Yeezy 450 Cinder colorway. And also I finally picked up the Yeezy Knit Runner, first time ever seeing this silhouette in hand. And oh man, it is, I don't know, like in my review, I was very, I was showing all sides about it, you know, like how to style it, what I liked, what I didn't like about it. But I got to say, overall, just really not feeling the shoe. And typically, really? Typically, I'm a big fan of new silhouettes that Yeezy puts out, more so than most people, I would say. But this time, I just really cannot defend the shoe. It doesn't look good on feet. Like that's like the main thing. Like if it doesn't look good on feet, if it just looks absolutely ridiculous, which it does in this case, I just can't defend it. And this shoe, man, it literally just looks like a big chunky pair of socks on your feet. So I wasn't really feeling it. What do you think about that shoe?
I think it's super interesting. I think the colorway you got is super nice, actually. The colors really work well together. But you're right. I think the lack of a structure and shape kind of hurts it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't mind the idea, right? And it's basically the same shape as the foam runner, but it doesn't have the same depth as the foam runner because the foam runner has those cutouts. Mm-hmm. and the knit runner it's literally just got that one cinched area at the midsole, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the only thing that offers actual depth and shape. So I think that's probably its biggest negative and what makes it not work. Because otherwise it's just like an oval, right? Like you said, like a big sock.
Yeah, that's
like pulling a sock over a stone or something like that.
Yeah, it's just the shoe itself to me visually just doesn't look interesting, right? Like it looks like a big blob, you know. Like if it wasn't for that cinch, there would be pretty much no design on the shoe. It's just like a silhouette, pretty much. So yeah I'm just probably one of my least favorite Yeezy silhouettes overall, I gotta say. And then I picked up the Bad Bunny, his latest silhouette with his latest release from his partnership with Adidas. And this time he did it on a silhouette, the CL Response. And this shoe, the inspiration from the shoe actually comes from Ice Cream. There's a lot of different leather panels on the shoe, which make it look like the shoe is actually dripping down, like kind of like melting ice cream, which I thought was very interesting. I picked up the white or cloud white colorway, and a very clean shoe. And it gives me like some very, it's like a super dad looking retro sneaker, like very dad looking Adidas model. I actually quite like the way it looks. And the whole ice cream, melting ice cream thing, I think it worked really well. I thought it was a really well executed idea on that shoe. So actually quite a big fan of that pair. So yeah, shout out to Bad Bunny. He's had some great collabs, I gotta say, overall. His partnership with Adidas is really interesting.
Definitely. I think it offers something different, and it's almost like some of the silhouettes, or at least this one, is a little bit underrated in terms of resale value. But I think if we give the partnership time to evolve and to grow, it'll be looked back on as like a really, really good one.
Definitely, definitely. And last pickups that I got, so two of them, both of them are Air Max Ones, and both of them are from Concepts. I first got the Air Max One Heavy. Shout out to Asphalt Gold. I've never won a raffle from Asphalt Gold before, but I did on the Air Max One Heavies. And the other colorway I got, and this was on Air Max Day, there was a shock drop of the Mellow pair. So the Air Max One Concepts Mellow, there was a shock drop on the sneakers app, and I was able to cop it. So I got two pairs now out of that pack. I wasn't actually able to get the third pair, which also dropped on Air Max Day. I think it was called the So Far Out. But I don't want to go too much into detail about these pairs right now, because we will be talking about them later on in the show when we talk about Air Max releases on Air Max Day this year. So, but just, I got to say, overall, super, super, super strong collab, I think, from Concepts.
Interesting. I'm not a huge fan of that, but we'll get into it later. Right. I have no pickups this week, mostly because I've been traveling and not really paying attention. I tried to get those Paisley Nike Dunks yesterday. I think they dropped.
Yep.
Super nice. And there's a bunch of Dunks coming up where I might have to try at least to get them, and we'll get into that later. But no, I've placed some strategic bids on StockX. I remember seeing your story a few days ago where you had like bids on several things. And I was like, oh damn, I did that too. So I'm like lowballing on a lot of sneakers and then just hoping that somebody, you know, says, fuck it, I'll sell them for this.
What do you have bids on?
So we talked about this last time, the Road Warrior, the Nike ISPA Road Warrior.
Right.
I've got a bid for 450 euros. The last sale was like 600 and something. So I doubt somebody will take that. Then the Nike Air Force One Low Ricardo Tisci, like from way back. And then I have a bid on the Cactus Plant Flea Market Nike sweater, the blue one with the rabbit and the tortoise on it. I just love the color blue. And it says something about like there's no finish line, or like the race has no finish line or something like that, which I thought was really cool. So I'm just waiting for someone to accept those. And then hopefully in the next few episodes, I'll be able to report some StockX pickup.
Yo, I mean, that Cactus Club flea market collab, like the clothes on that collab were such a hit, you know, like such a strong collab. I've been putting bids on like non-sneakers on StockX. Like I have a bid on a pair of AirPods Max, I think they're called, because like I've noticed a lot of electronics are way cheaper on StockX compared to the retail price. Those AirPods Max, they actually retail at the Apple Store for 600 euros, but on StockX, like the lowest ask right now is 390 euros. So yeah, it's actually like way cheaper. So yeah, just a tip for you guys, StockX is actually pretty great for electronics.
Unless you're buying PlayStations, then they're more expensive.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, cool. So let's move on to the sneaker news. So first bit of news. What else is new? Is this even news? Because it kind of happens all the time. The prices of the Jordan 1 are set to increase yet again. October of this year, they will be increasing a retail price of $180. For a shoe that probably doesn't cost more than $10 to make. I doubt it costs more than $10 to make.
Dude, at the very, very, very most, it costs like $6 or $7 to make per pair, right?
And right.
It used to be $160, right? Then they pushed it up to $170 like a year
last
ago
year
or something.
Yeah.
And now it's $180. Come on, man. I mean, I know I've seen this online before. Like, there's been a chart where it's like, yeah, okay, inflation has actually grown faster than Jordan prices or something in some cases. But at the same time, like, man, really, like, you're already making a lot of money, Nike. Your profit margins are already huge, especially when you're moving to direct to consumer, right? And you're doing more stuff through your own channels where your profit margin is infinitely higher than if you go through wholesale, and you're still raising the prices on people. Like, people are struggling now because of Corona, because of everything else that's happening. Then inflation is making their money worth less, and you're making everything else more expensive. It's ridiculous.
It is. However, I actually think the average sneakerhead, you can be slightly happy about this news, because here's what I think. Okay, so who actually cops Jordan 1s for retail nowadays? Think about it. It's either A, people who have bots, or basically the resellers. The resellers are getting them all for retail and trying to jack up the price on StockX, right? So if anyone is actually going to get hurt by this price increase, it's going to be them. It's going to be the people reselling. Let's say there's a Jordan 1 that right now on StockX is selling for like $240, right? Just because the retail price of that shoe went up by $10, that doesn't mean the resale price of the shoe is now going to go to $250 from $240. It doesn't work that way, right? Like, resale prices are just set by market demand. What the whole market thinks the value of that shoe is right now, that's what it's going to sell for. So basically what this is doing is it's pretty much just killing the profit margins of the resellers. So I think it's a slight W for the average consumer, because most people nowadays are not getting Jordan 1s for retail. Maybe I'm thinking a bit too deep about it, but I just thought of it and I'm like, I think it's basically the resellers who are taking a big L here.
I don't know. I mean, I get your point, but I wouldn't say it's a W for other people.
No, it's not.
For resellers, because you're still paying resale for it. You're still paying $240 now or before. So you're still paying more than it's actually worth, not on the resale market, but on the retail market. So it's probably just more like L's all around for everyone,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a better way to put it. It's an L for everyone, but the resellers get the biggest L, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, let's hope that the resale prices don't spike because of that. But I think your reasoning is very sound, right? Like, why would the market pay more for something just because it's slightly more at retail?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Now, but speaking of retail, there is a new Adidas technology coming out soon. This was one of the news pieces that kind of piqued my interest the most. Adidas announced on their app, I think it was a few days ago, maybe even was like a week or two ago, Adi Plus, which is, as far as I understand it, it's an evolution of Adipreen, and it consists of two types of foam that are bonded together. So one is like a PU midsole that's placed in kind of a hull or like a shell of a soft EVA. And together they're kind of designed to offer like all day comfort. And it's one of the latest or first Adidas cushioning technologies that is designed just for lifestyle, right? Because a lot of times in the past, we've seen performance technology making its way into lifestyle. The best example obviously being Boost. And while Boost is obviously super, super comfortable, it's designed with different objectives in mind, right? Boost is comfortable for runners or for performance athletes, and it offers great energy return, but it might not offer as much stability as other cushioning systems does, because it doesn't need to for the sport it was designed for. So Adi Plus is basically designed with that in mind. It's designed with a soft foam and a slightly harder foam that creates the structure to offer both softness and cushioning, but also stability. And what I find really interesting is that the first sneaker will be the Oz Nova, which is an evolution of the Oz Wego. And the exciting thing here is that it's actually designed by Mr. Bailey, who's the founder of Concept Kicks. I don't know how familiar you are with him, but he has designed a lot of really crazy things, not just sneakers. Like he said, he was I interviewed him for Hyson Bite a while back, and he was working on this like jet powered jet ski that he called like the Formula One of water. Like he said, it was just like insanely intricate and speedy and everything. And so I think this is kind of exciting because A, he's a super cool designer with like a very different and unique approach, but also we're getting a cushioning technology. And I know like all sneaker heads go crazy over cushioning that is designed with lifestyle in mind, first and foremost.
All right. So moving on to some more news about this time about Kobe Bryant. So we got an announcement that the partnership between Nike and Kobe Bryant will officially continue. We know there was definitely some conflict between Kobe's wife, Vanessa Bryant, and Nike about having a lifetime deal. That's what Vanessa wanted. Vanessa wanted a lifetime deal for Kobe. However, Nike was unwilling to do that. But basically they have moved forward now with a partnership, and she also confirms that Nike will be donating 100% of the proceeds yearly for Gianna shoes to the Mamba and Mambacita Foundation. You guys might have heard that there's a Kobe 6 Mambacita, which is actually about to release, which features Gigi's name on the right shoe and Kobe's name on the left shoe, which I'm sure everyone probably wants to get that pair. I'm sure a lot of people are very, very excited to hear this news. I know for sure NBA basketball players are super excited. There was quite a few stories about NBA basketball players turning down contracts with Adidas, turning down contracts with Puma, just because they wanted to keep wearing Kobe shoes. That's how much Kobe sneakers are loved. I would even go as far as to say that when it comes to basketball sneakers, maybe besides obviously Jordans, Kobe's are probably the most popular basketball shoes. You can even look at, you know, resale prices or just, I think also just in overall design and just popularity, Kobe's seem to be the most popular.
I think not just most popular, but also the best. Like, that's why people, like, I would say that, yes, a lot of them are wearing them out of respect for Kobe, but they also wore them when he was still alive, right? And not just because they grew up watching Kobe and he was the GOAT for many growing up in that age range, right? But also because his shoes, like very objectively, are some of the best basketball shoes ever made, you know?
Definitely. I mean, I'm not sure from like a performance aspect, but at least in terms of looks, I think Nike really saved the best for the Kobe line, because since then, there really hasn't been, I think, any basketball shoes that have come close to matching those. So definitely good news for all the basketball sneakerhead fans. And then finally, another big news dropping. So Virgil Abloh's latest sneaker, Off-White's latest sneaker, the Blazer Lows. We got an announcement just today. They kind of appeared on the sneakers app here in Europe. We'll be releasing April the 8th. Two colorways, a black and a white pair. I think it's the first new silhouette from Off-White and Nike to drop since the passing of Virgil. So yeah, it kind of begs the question, is it okay to continue releasing these newer models and continue with the Off-White and Nike line well after Virgil's passing? I mean, I guess this is not going to be the first time Nike has done this. Like they've already done it with Kobe. I don't necessarily think it's such a bad thing. I don't think it's disrespecting Virgil's legacy in any way. And I'm actually pretty excited, especially if Virgil himself was involved in the design making of these, not just these shoes, but even let's say some other shoes come out in the future. If Virgil himself was involved in that, then that would be pretty cool actually to see those coming out from the archives, coming out from the design labs. I would be interested to see that as a sneakerhead.
Yeah, I think, sorry. I think that to your point, I think there's also no disrespect or whatever. I would say that it's slightly similar to kind of the retro Jordan situation, where Jordans that he wore are obviously much more respected and loved than Jordans that came out after he retired, right? Or that he didn't wear himself. And maybe it's the same here, where like I find it totally fine as long as it's designs that Virgil worked on and he wanted to release, right? But if they start just using the Virgil filter for new sneakers, or go into kind of the samples and release samples that maybe he himself decided weren't good enough or weren't finished enough to release, then for me, it's not problematic in a disrespectful sense, but just problematic in the sense that it's not really a Virgil Abloh sneaker, right? So it shouldn't release under his name, in my opinion. And that would be like the shift for me, where then it's like maybe part two or phase two of that collection. Same as the Air Jordans, where it's like phase one was the sneakers he wore as a player. Phase two was the sneakers that released after he retired and that other like Jordan brand players wore as like the face of the brand.
Right. Yeah. So these are coming out on April the 8th. So look out for that. And do you think there's actually going to be a lot more silhouettes coming out from Off-White? Because we saw pictures of this blazer drop even before Virgil's passing, but we haven't really seen any other new silhouettes. So I'm wondering if these are going to be the last new silhouette we get from that Off-White and Nike partnership.
Yeah, there wasn't anything else. There were other colorways of existing shoes, right?
Like, right.
There was the Bapesta that he wore as well during Fashion Week, like the Crocskin Bapesta with the Off-White branding. But nothing where I can remember that, or you know, the Bred Air Jordan 4s, which were then confirmed to be just a sample. So no, to be honest, I have no idea. And if these are the last ones, they're definitely not my favorite, but that will definitely be a monumental drop in that sense as well.
Yeah, not my favorite either, I gotta admit. I've seen so many variations of the Blazer Low in the last year. I think Acronyms was probably the most interesting. But this one's a little bit strange. But yeah, let's move on to so the major event that occurred in the sneaker world in the last couple of weeks was definitely Air Max Day. And let's first of all talk about this year's Air Max Day, specifically the releases this year. So on Air Max Day itself, we got some region exclusive drops. North America got this, I forget the name of the pair, but it was basically a blue pair. Oh, the blueprint, of course, that's what it was called. It had like a blue swoosh, a globe at the back, which I thought was really cool. Europe got actually this pair right here. I have it in my hand because I actually just managed to get the shoe like 2 minutes before starting the pod today. It was sitting at my neighbor's house for like 3 days and I couldn't pick it up because, oh, actually, you know what? People who are not German are probably listening to this and wondering why the hell did my neighbor have my shoe? Because let me tell you something about Germany, guys. If you're not home when the UPS guy or when the DHL guy shows up at your door, if you're not home, do you know what they do? They just give your shoe to a random neighbor in your building. And then you are at the mercy of that neighbor to basically be home so that you can actually get your stuff. So they gave it to my neighbor like 3 days ago and I've been knocking at his door ever since. And he just was not home, but he was finally home today, managed to pick it up. So Europe got this pair. It's called the La Lumiere, City of Lights, I believe. No, La Ville Lumiere. Okay. I completely messed that up. It says so at the bottom, La Ville Lumiere. It means City of Lights. I think it's a pretty underwhelming pair. Just seeing it in hand, it's like, it's, I don't know, man. It just looks like a silver and white Air Max One. It's just not that special. There's definitely a lot of cool details, like the clear midsole. The box is pretty nice as well, but overall, pretty underwhelming release. I thought Asia might have gotten the best looking one. It looked like it had like a cracked midsole similar to the Off-White Jordan 2s and a very nice colorway too, brown colorway. Overall, I think maybe Asia probably won this round. But regardless of which one is the best, and we can talk about that, you can definitely tell me which one you thought was the best. But besides, you know, deciding which one was the best, I thought it was pretty cool that they did regional exclusive drops this year, something we haven't really seen on Air Max Day. So I guess they're just trying to do something different and bring some hype back to that silhouette.
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea to it makes them feel more special, right? And more covetable, because obviously you can only get that pair in the region that you're in, unless you have hookups in other countries, other continents. It's a tactic that, you know, has been done and worked before with the Yeezy 350s. Remember the regional pairs that we've seen? I think there's been several regional pairs over the last like 2 or 3 years that kind of made a silhouette that I felt was kind of dying out a little bit in terms of hype, at least a little bit hype for that release. And on the other hand, it's also like an easy way to engage the community and make them feel like they're getting something others aren't. It adds also like a nostalgia effect as well. I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like back in the day, people started collecting sneakers because it was difficult and because you couldn't get everything, right? Even if you had money, you needed connections, you needed a network of people, you needed to be in the right forums, you had to be at the right place at the right time. Or like, you know, people would make trips out to Japan just to get Japan exclusive Nike Air Force One, or European exclusive Air Max ones, because the European market liked those better. So it was like a hunt and like an adventure to complete your pack or complete the collection, basically. And over the last few years, it's just with raffles and global releases and all that kind of stuff, it's been great. It's made it easier for people to get stuff. So on the one hand, it's made it more democratic, but on the other hand, I feel like it's taken a lot of the joy out of it. You know, you get the sneaker, you're like, okay, cool, new shoe, whatever, and you put it to the side. You're happy for a little bit until you get the next one. Whereas in the past, it was like you would spend weeks or even months hunting this one pair, and when you finally got it, it was like more of a rush in a way. But I don't know, like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I like the tactic of doing the geo specific releases. I just wish Europe got a better one, but that strategy has, yeah, it's I wouldn't say guaranteed to work, but it definitely makes you feel a little bit more special about the sneaker you're getting. But yeah, I mean, just talking about this specific release, I know you really like this pair.
Really like is an overstatement. I think I thought all three were relatively tame, and if I had to pick one, I would pick the European one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's right in your wheelhouse when it comes to like colors. You love white and gray sneakers. That's basically your whole collection. I've seen it. So yeah, I know. So that's definitely your thing. But there was also another set of sneakers that dropped, the Air Max One Concepts entire collection. The final pair dropped on Air Max Day. And a lot of people in the sneaker circle seem to be calling this like one of the best sneakers of the year. Some people even saying these are the sneakers of the year. Having them in hand, having two pairs of them in hand, super, super impressed with the craftsmanship, the quality of these sneakers. And I love the whole inspiration behind it. So they were inspired by Woodstock Festival and some of the really crazy music festivals from the 60s and 70s. And the attention to detail is crazy with the acid wash denim, the bandanas. Like, it really felt like a very hippie type of vibe on the shoe. Also, like, at the top of the shoe, there's like three symbols, a moon, a star, and a slash. And those symbols were also printed on the Woodstock tickets from 1969. So I thought that was really, really cool. And also, like, the heavy pair, the denim on that pair looks different on every single pair. They all have different washes. The pair I got has a very dark wash on it. So that's also, you know, adds that bit of, you know, specialness, exclusivity to the sneaker. And it's just overall, I think, a very, very well executed collab. I don't know if I'm going to call it the sneaker of the year simply because I'm not the biggest Air Max guy. I'll be honest. I've never really have been. Although I'm very, very, very impressed with these shoes. I love the quality. There's so many different materials on this pair: cowhide, denim, leather, suede, velvet. It's crazy. There's so many different materials, and Nike didn't mess up on the quality. All the materials, no quality defects or anything on my pairs. So pretty damn good job with the execution by both Concepts and Nike.
Yeah, I mean, From a design perspective, it's just too much. But now that you've told me a little bit about the inspiration and the materials and the quality and stuff, I'm definitely coming around to them. I would say of the three, the mellow is probably my favorite just because it's the most mellow, I would say, in execution. But yeah, I mean, you know, Concepts has a great, rich history of, you know, not just Nike collaborations, but sneaker collaborations in general. And there's always a lot of storytelling behind what they do. And a lot of thought goes into it. So I trust that they executed this exactly how they wanted to. And it's not never going to be that you please everyone, right? Like some people just won't like a release because they don't like the color or the material or the silhouette. And in this case, it's just too wild for me, but I respect kind of the effort that went into it.
Yeah, definitely. Those are probably the best sneakers, I think, from this Air Max day, at least, and at least the ones that people remember the most.
Definitely. But yeah, so there were the releases, but then there were also the community events, right? So it was like a multi-layered approach by Nike. And I know that Berlin had an event, which was hosted by Overkill and Soulbox, which I thought was nice to see because, you know, even though retailers aren't really, they're not rivals, but they do compete for the same consumers, right? So they have to like make sure that they're different enough and have a different offering or a better offering than the others. And so I think to add to the community feeling and the community theme of Air Max Day, to see these two competitors team up for an event in Berlin was pretty cool. I spoke to someone who set up the event, who works for Soulbox, and he said that basically what happened was they had set up a few workshops, and those that went could either learn how to sketch or do graffiti with the Overkill people, or learn how to draw a Air Max One sneaker in virtual reality with Soulbox, which was pretty cool. Like you got like a virtual reality set. And you know, that's like something that's growing in the industry as well. A lot of designers are designing shoes in virtual reality with Gravity Sketch. So that was really cool. And then there was also a DJ workshop and then some drinks and you could watch the game show live, which we'll get into later. But yeah, overall, I think it was a really successful event. I saw a couple people on Instagram that went there. And I think the Berlin community really appreciated these two big retailers in their city putting in effort and making them kind of feel included, even if they didn't get a pair of the sneakers or something.
Yeah, I gotta say, from what I saw, I didn't go to the event, but I noticed that I didn't realize there was such a big Air Max community in Berlin. I was out that whole day, and I just couldn't help but notice so many Air Max sneakers around, and you could tell that these were not like coincidental. Like people were wearing that on purpose because these Air Maxes were clean. It was not like they've been worn every day, you know, like people kind of took out their Air Max sneakers to rock it on that day. I was walking around Mitte, which is like a pretty popular part of Berlin. And there were, I saw the Sean Wotherspoon, I saw the Off-White Air Maxes. I saw so many, I must've seen like 10 people rocking Patas. I was pretty kind of surprised by the stranglehold, I guess, that Air Max has on Berlin, which is not what I expected at all.
Yeah, I would say like hate on it if you want, and I mean we have these like fake made up holidays or sneaker days. They're super commercial, obviously, but it is cool to feel part of a club, right? That's why we collect sneakers, to give each other the nod, like the if you know, you know kind of feeling. And I feel like what you just described is exactly that, right? Like going out and then seeing other like-minded people and just not even talking to them, just being like, okay, I respect that. Like, I know that you know how I feel about sneakers as well. And other people thinking about that, thinking that about you as well.
Definitely. And I got to say, the Kickback Pod, we absolutely killed it on Air Max Day. I saw you pulled out the 97 Off-Whites. I saw that, man, with the green laces too, flexing on them. Oh, wait, hold up. It was the green laces to match the green Easy Miyake pants.
Yeah,
bro. I needed to like go. I had to call 911 when I saw that picture, man. It lit the phone on fire, man. Crazy, crazy fit. And I, of course, wore the Off-White Air Max 90s, one of the nicest pairs from the original 10. So yeah, we definitely killed it that day.
I mean, I hadn't worn that pair in at least 3 years. Like,
wow, really? You hadn't worn that in 3 years?
Yeah, oh, man. I think I've worn it like 3 times in total. And then I was like, oh fuck, I need to do something cool for it. Like, I need to wear just like a cool pair of sneakers this Air Max day. And then I spoke about it on a previous episode. I had just gotten these Isti Miyake pants, and I was like, damn, okay, I need to combine it somehow. And then I remembered that because the 97s, they didn't come with those laces. They came with other laces. But one of my colleagues and friends back then, Nigel, big shout out to Nigel, he got the Air Jordan 1s from the original 10, and he didn't want the laces. Like, I think it came with the orange and green laces. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yo, Nigel, like, if you're not going to wear those laces, like, can I have them? Because I think they would look dope on the 97. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So mad respect to him for doing that, because obviously it's harder to shift the sneakers afterwards if you don't have all the laces, if it's not OG all. And then, yeah, the color just matched perfectly with the pants, and I just had to do it to him, you know?
Yo, I know. I was wondering, because I never ever saw those 97s before with green laces, and I was like, did they come with green laces? I just didn't remember that. But yeah, you pulled it off, man, with the pants for sure.
Thanks, bro. Thanks. Oh. My fiance hates the pants, but I made.
Yo, come on, man.
she just thinks they look like pajama pants, which, you know, like, I'm not gonna deny they do a little bit, but I love them. And I was like, listen, babe, like, I'm going to wear these and you're going to go outside with me and take some photos of me. You're going to hate it. It's going to be embarrassing, but I need you to do me this favor. And she did. She pulled through. So, you know, I love you. Thank you very much.
There's one thing in my closet that my girlfriend actually completely refuses to go outside with me if I ever wear it. And I've worn it twice before, and she literally said, I'm not coming with you. Like, she stayed home. And that I have this t-shirt, which is pretty much just like an homage to Elon Musk. It has like 20 pictures of Elon Musk on it. And it literally says in gigantic size 48 font, Elon, on the front. And she's just like, I'm not walking outside with you.
Is it the style, like the, you know, those like old school, like rapper 90s, 2000s?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like graphic. It looks exactly like a, as if you went to like a Elon Musk concert or something. It looks like a band tee, right? And I mean, obviously I'm a big fan of Elon, and I just love the shirt, but I will say, anytime I wear that in Berlin, I get a lot of people staring at me. So it does make me feel a little uncomfortable, but
yeah, cause they don't like Elon here. Right?
They don't like, of course they don't like Elon here, man. He's like the biggest competitor to like Mercedes and BMW and all the big German companies, you know? So,
well, yeah. And also he like tore down a bunch of trees and forests to build his like factory. And,
yeah.
and you know, Berlin's very like left-leaning and very environmentally friendly and all that kind of stuff. And I think the story goes that basically Elon wanted to build his factory there for whatever logistical reason, and they were like, well, there's a forest there, you can't tear down these trees. And he was like, well, what's the fine gonna be if I tear down all these trees? And then they're like, oh, here's the fine. He's like, yeah, fuck it, I'll pay it, whatever. Which is fucking terrible, considering that he's building environmentally friendly or conscious cars. He's like, yeah, just fucking tear down this forest. But yeah, so I think that's where the hate comes from a little bit in Berlin.
Yeah, for sure. And all right, so let's talk about the last thing that happens, the quiz show. I don't know if you guys actually watched it or not. So if you logged into the sneakers app that day, it lasted like, I think, a couple of like 3 or 4 hours. I'm sure everyone who was actually watching it on the app, you like me, were hoping for a surprise drop of the Travis Scott Air Max ones. That's at least I was kind of hoping they would, you know, surprise shock drop. Didn't happen. At least they had a shock drop of the Air Max One Mellow, which I was able to cop. But what did you, I watched the game show. Personally, I thought it was a little corny, to be honest. Especially when they like made each city go on stage and like have like dance battles. I'm just like, what am I watching right now? Like, there's so many other things I could be doing. Why am I watching this? What did you think of that whole quiz show?
So I didn't watch it because I was actually flying to Porto at that exact time. But I was, funnily enough, I was invited to go to London to watch it live, which would have been funny.
Yeah.
And I have a good friend who was actually part of Team Berlin, Chris Danforth, who actually sent us a voice note talking about his experience and what he thought. So before I give my opinion, let's just listen into what Chris had to say about being part of Team Berlin at the Air Max Day sneakers quiz show.
Awesome.
Hey, what's up to my friends at the Kickback Pod, to my buddy Fabian, and to everyone listening. My name is Chris Danforth. If you caught the Air Max Day festivities on the Nike sneakers app this weekend, then you would have seen me as a contestant on the Berlin team for Nike's Give Fresh Air game show. For those of you that didn't watch, Nike invited teams from Berlin, Amsterdam, and London to compete against each other for the chance to win prize money for a charity chosen by each team. So I'm happy to say the Berlin team won $30,000 for our charity, After School Hustle, which is a program that offers creative skills like photography, DJing, and filmmaking to school-aged kids. And my teammates on the Berlin team were Julia, aka Sneaker Queen on Instagram, Sasha from Overkill's new store in Cologne, and our team captain, the one and only Aisha Vibes. So the show was split into five parts. Some of these games were like classic game show challenges. For example, an air tunnel where foam balls are flying around and you have to grab them to win points, or a ball pit where you had to search for the special green ball and then open it up to reveal the question inside. For one game, we were shown pictures of Air Max outsoles, and we had to hit a buzzer and guess which shoe it is. That was really hard, especially to do it under pressure. Like, we had no time really to think about it or discuss as a team. We just had to hit the buzzer and hope that we guessed right. It was a lot of fun. The set was really crazy. It was basically like what I imagine a TV set is like, with like a studio audience, like being backstage at Wheel of Fortune or something. So that level of production made it a little bit nerve-wracking, but I think the nerves wore off pretty quickly and we were all pretty in the zone and trying to do our best and trying to win. And it was a lot of fun to spend time with other teams. Of course, you know, Berlin, Amsterdam, and London all have their own flavor when it comes to sneakers. Actually, when it comes to Amsterdam, some of the team was representing Pata. So, of course, they did not let us forget that some of the best Air Max collaborations of all time come from Amsterdam, specifically Pata and the Air Max Ones that they've done over the years. So over the weekend, there was definitely a bit of banter and a bit of roasting like that between all the teams. But it was really cool to meet everyone. And the game show was also a really nice way to put emphasis on, you know, knowledge and community from all these cities instead of just product. And all the contestants were encouraged to wear their favorite Air Max on the show instead of Nike just giving us, you know, the shoes that released this year, like the Air Max One Blueprints or the Air Max One City of Lights. So it was cool to see what everyone picked. I chose some Air Max 97 Silver Bullets, which is probably my favorite Air Max model of all time. Maybe tied with the Air Max One OG colorway in red and white. But yeah, I was really happy to be there. Of course, it sets the bar pretty high for what Nike's doing next year. I think it would be a great idea for Nike to continue doing this for future Air Max days, maybe even getting more cities involved like Paris. In fact, a lot of people were wondering why there wasn't a Paris team, because they also have like their own perspectives on Air Max. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks to Nike for inviting me.
All right. So you just heard from the horse's mouth, Chris Danforth. Just as a side note, Josh, he is also from Canada. I don't know if you heard that from his accent. He's from Vancouver.
I could tell, actually. I could. I was like, is he American or Canadian? I was leaning more on the Canadian side.
Exactly. But yeah, so what did you think? Like, he obviously really liked it. And I think if you're actually involved, it's a cool idea. And I think that's what people have been asking for over the last few years too, right? For more community involvement, less focus on just hype products and more on kind of fostering the community that people feel is missing. But after listening to Chris, what do you think?
So a couple of things that he mentioned. So the first was I actually had no idea that they were doing these challenges to win money for a charity of their choice. So shout out to Team Berlin for getting 30K for that school. That's pretty, that school for the arts. That's pretty awesome. So that's already basically the whole event is already a big W. If you think about it that way, that a lot of money went to good causes supporting arts and creativity. So that's awesome. And he mentioned another thing, which is very true. So he said that it was pretty cool how Nike allowed everyone in the audience and everyone on the show to basically wear any Air Max, not just Air Maxes, you know, from this year, and not just Air Maxes from the last year. So that's something that was the one thing that I kept looking at during the show. Like I kept looking at all the people in the audience. Every single person had like Air Maxes from different periods, you know, like some of them from the Off-White era, some of them like older, some super, super rare pairs as well. And I just kept throughout that show, I just kept looking at people's feet. So that was pretty cool that Nike allowed people to do that. So it didn't actually feel like it was a commercial, you know. It didn't feel like they were trying to push product. They were just trying to show that there's a big community of Air Max sneakerheads out there. So yeah, that's I agree with Chris. That was pretty cool, and I thought really, you know, highlighted how many years and how many crazy pairs there have been of Air Maxes in the past.
Yeah, I agree. And I think to that point as well, or to Chris's point that he would like to see this next year as well with maybe more cities, I think that's a great idea, because the last couple of years, obviously due to Corona, have been pretty mellow when it comes to in-person events or interactive community events. I remember, and I think this wasn't Air Max Day. This was like the sneakers app anniversary where they had like those pop-ups in Berlin and you could like get the Sakais, the LV waffles and all that kind of stuff. That energy, of course, it was driven by hype shoes, but that energy of like going out on the street and like finding these spots was super cool. And that's kind of what's been missing a little bit for me as well. Now, especially not being at Heist and Vibe anymore, not being in the middle of everything anymore. From a work perspective, I'm a consumer now, first and foremost, as well, and an enthusiast. And so anything that gets me involved, gets me kind of interacting with other people that like the same thing as me, I think is a good thing. And I think the charity aspect was obviously really, really nice and shows that it really came from a good place at Nike, and that community was kind of front and center of Air Max Day 2022. So for me, like you said, big W, and hope to see more in the future.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Looking forward to, let's see what Nike does next year. All right, let's move on to upcoming drops. Definitely quite a lot of upcoming drops. So I guess today, this is the day you guys are going to be hearing the pod, March 31st. There are a couple of big drops. So we're getting the Union Dunks, first of all. That's going to be releasing, I think, two different colorways, the purple and this blue pair, or I'm not sure if it's just the blue pair, but it will be releasing exclusively on the Union website. I remember the first drop, I was just so damn slow on the captcha that I just completely messed up and I wasn't able to actually get the pair. Hoping for some better luck this time, but probably it's going to be another L. But good luck to everyone. I've given my opinion on those dunks in the past. Not the biggest fan of the Union dunks. Not really feeling that netting on the shoe. But either way, we'll be dropping March 31st. Another pair dropping March 31st is the Jordan 3 Muslin. It's a pretty nice color if you guys really like that Ama Manier pair. Maybe the closest shoe to ever release that, you know, that is similar to that Ama Manier pair. I remember showing something I saw on the End website. They had the colorway as muslin, red, and semen. I looked at it. I looked at the End clothing website now, and they changed semen to cement gray. So clearly someone at End was was trying to, you know, play some games there, but that was pretty funny, and that definitely made me chuckle quite a bit. But that will be releasing March the 31st. Then we have on April the 9th, the re-release of the 350 V2 Zebra. It seems like Yeezy's strategy this year is to just retro every single super popular 350 ever. We already saw the Belugas. We saw the Oreos. Now we're going to be seeing the Zebras. So the most hyped 350s are all coming back pretty much. And there's actually a rumor today that I saw. Was it on Nice Kicks or somewhere else? But basically the 350 V1, the Moon Rocks, might be releasing. So that's...
Wait.
Yeah, I saw the Moon Rocks could be releasing. So that's pretty crazy, man. We never thought we'd see that pair. So yeah, just some rumors out right now.
Nice. Yeah, and then there's a couple of Nike Dunks, as I said earlier in this episode, the Polaroid Nike Dunk Low, April 5th, which has like a 3 or 4 different colored swoosh, which, if you ask me, super nice. I know that I've said probably way too many times, my opinion on Dunks is probably about as dead as Dunks are right now. But I said that the Dunks are dying, and it is true, kind of. But it's also good to see nice colorways coming out, because as we've both said many times, it's a very, very solid silhouette. Yeah, so the Polaroid collaboration is dropping April 5th. Then we've got the Nike Dunk Low Fossil Rose, which is dropping on April 1st, so on Friday. And I'm going to say it, this one is up there with the medium curry for just beautiful tones, looking like some very, very high quality suede. I've only seen this on the Nike sneakers app. I don't know if it's dropping at retailers. And it might also just be a European release just yet. I don't know if you've seen this one, Josh, but it's a beauty, man.
I actually, which one? The Fossil Rose?
Yeah.
I've seen it. Yeah. That one, it actually has already released in quite a few places here in Europe. I know it's the one with the pink swoosh and the gray. Yeah. It's very, very nice colorway. It has actually, yeah, I think it might've already released on the sneakers app, or is that on, that's the one on April 1st, right?
It's dropping on April 1st.
Okay. But there's been plenty of raffles that have already been going on for the last few weeks for that pair. I've been taking L's everywhere on that pair, so I haven't seen it yet, but, I'll try to get that pair for you, man. If I'm lucky, size 9, right?
Size 9, yeah. That'll be good, because nice little birthday present on birthday on Saturday.
I'll try to. Oh, this is actually a big birthday week on the pod. We got Fab's birthday this coming Saturday. My birthday a week from today. Today is Wednesday. So yeah, my birthday is on the 6th. So yeah, man, big birthday week for us, for sure.
Big kickback week. And then I don't know if you saw these, but there's two New Balance 550 colorways dropping as well. I saw them on End. There's yes. one like that's like this burgundy blue colorway. It's like a light blue with like this darker red, which is super nice. And then there's this people are calling it like the all. I'm gonna butcher this, but all red.
Yeah,
it's like a French. But it's like this milky kind of colorway with like this very like natural veg tan leather, which is cool. You've seen those before, right?
I've seen those. Yeah, especially that Olay one. That one is super nice. And I think actually speaking of 550s, another one we didn't mention is the Emily Ondour 550s. Two new colorways, one of them being like a brown and another a burgundy. I think they're supposed to be like shock dropping in the next couple of weeks. Okay. So on the Emily Ondour website. So that's another one to look out for.
Nice. I would go so far as to say that these like general release colorways that are dropping, I think on Saturday, are better than the Emily Ondour colorways. I find the Emily Ondour a little bit too kind of fall wintry, like brown. I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. And then on April 2nd, there is also a End the Adore collaboration, which I just thought was cool because it's inspired by Limoncello and Grappa, which are the two kind of like, right? The two liquors that you drink basically, or the aperitivo that you drink in Italy. You having been in Italy a couple times recently, and I'm flying there in June, it's both of them are the perfect summer shoe. One is bright yellow and the other one is like this nice kind of gray, grapey colorway. Yeah, man.
I love Limoncello, man. I'm not going to lie. I love Limoncello and Grappa.
I'm not a huge Aperitivo fan, but Limoncello, like, it's got that nice, like, summery smell and taste, you know?
I love it. I'm looking at the shoes right now. Yeah, dude, these look like, I feel like if I smell these shoes, it's going to smell like lemons.
Definitely.
Nice. And we also, of course, have the Off-White Blazer Lows dropping April the 8th on the Sneakers app. And that's about it. That wraps up this episode. Another solid episode in the books. And actually, guys, I think this is episode 30 all time that we've done, which is definitely a big milestone. Shout out to you, man. Shout out to you, Fobs. We've done 30 episodes now together, on the way to 50 and then 100 and then who knows how many more. But yeah, man. To infinity. Yeah, you already said, right? We're going to be doing this when we're like in our 60s, right?
Oh, definitely. Like by then it'll be like some sort of like virtual reality kind of podcast or something. But definitely we're going to.
Metaverse, man. Kickback pod in the metaverse. Dude, we already actually have the metaverse characters, like our like logo for the pod, right? Those that can be our metaverse characters.
Definitely. No, but all cool. Right. Thank you guys for listening. Super
happy
super,
birthday. Early happy birthday to you. I know that's actually really frowned upon in Germany to do that.
Yeah. But... I mean, right back at you as well. Although I think we'll write each other on those days. Thank you everyone for listening. Really, really appreciate your support. I know that there's Spotify ratings now as well. So if everybody can give us a rating on Spotify, that'd be great. Last time I checked, we had around 60. It would be amazing to get to 100 ratings on Spotify. We're sitting at 4.9, which is beautiful. Somebody probably gave us a 4-star. Gonna find out who you are.
But yo, yeah, some, you, I know, I can't believe it. Someone gave us a 1-star. Like, what the hell?
but much love.
Yeah, shout out to everyone, man. Shout out to all you guys. All right, we'll see you next time. Peace.